In New York, Washington, in all corners of the nation, people sought to deal with their grief and anger, their sense of helplessness. They gathered in churches, mosques, synagogues, community centers, schools, outside government buildings, anywhere, to try to find solace and community. They rang church bells in South Dakota. In Nashville, there were 2,000 people at a memorial gathering, where country singer Martina McBride performed. The New York Philharmonic canceled its opening gala and replaced it with a memorial concert. Panama City, Florida, Cincinnati, and countless other cities hosted vigils. San Jose has set up a week of mourning and events. In Grants Pass, Oregon, the Kiwanis Club hung flags along the town's two main streets. In northern Nevada, Muslims gathered to pray for the victims of Tuesday's terror attacks, even as the mosque received telephone threats. Here in Washington, people assembled amid the marble facades and broad streets that had seemed to represent power and invincibility. NPR's Scott Simon was there.
On Wednesday evening, a couple of hundred people decided to walk down Pennsylvania Avenue from the U.S. Capitol to the White House. Many held candles cupped inside their hands. The night was warm and still. None of the candles flickered out. They just burned beautifully. We joined the walk and talked with a woman wearing a U.S. Navy uniform. She asked us to use her first name only, Susan. Her eyes stayed on the candle she held in front of her. She told us that she works at the Pentagon.
I was sitting at my computer going through my email, and the next thing I know, the building's shaking and people are yelling, "Get out, get out." And then the alarms went off, so we evacuated. And I would not think of any other place to be than here tonight.
Susan walked with a friend named Tracy.
I can't speak for Susan, but for me, there's nothing else I could have done to help anybody during this time. I wasn't there. I'm not in the military. I don't work at the Pentagon, but just showing up tonight made me feel like I was doing, at least showing my solidarity, I guess.
Annika Schellgren introduced herself to us as someone from Sweden living in the United States. She walked arm in arm with her mother.
This is not just America that's been affected. This is everyone. There's a lot of people like me here in the United States that are, you know, consider this their home, although they are not necessarily American citizens. And this is home to everyone. This has affected everyone.
Increased security grew visible as we approached the White House. Several police cruisers were stationed at every corner. There were clusters of uniformed officers and who knows how many in plain clothes. But even in the state of heightened security, on the day after two symbols of America had been bombed, the group walked right up to the very gates of the White House. In fact, a few teenagers pulled themselves up on the iron railings ringing the White House to look inside. Their presence didn't seem to say that security was lax, so much as that America's instinct for liberty is still strong. The White House still belongs to the people. They started to sing, many holding their candles above their heads so they could see one another's faces. There was no one with a bullhorn to call out the next song, and no chorus. As one song ended, another just sprung up from somewhere in the crowd.
Beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountains, majesty, all of the fruited plains. America, America, God shed his grace on thee, and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea.
Larry Leinick of Arlington, Virginia, said he walked to the White House to show his respect for those who have lost their lives and to demonstrate his support for the President and Congress. He said that Tuesday's attacks should make Americans regard the freedoms they have as more precious.
The most important thing right now is for us to maybe step back for a few moments, take respect for the people that gave their lives as a result of this event. And then I think we have to plot our course on what we're going to have to do to protect all that we believe in as far as our freedoms, our rights, everything that we all treasure so much in this country. And I'm afraid that's going to take a real commitment, not only on our military, but also on the average person in this country, to be ready to know that as a result of what's happened here, that we're probably going to have to suffer even more to make sure it never happens again.
The lights were off last night on the second floor of the White House where the President and Mrs. Bush live. But people left their lights, their candles, to burn, and it cast a soft light up from the sidewalk, flickering along the White House lawn.
NPR's Scott Simon